You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
If you want the verse, I go down at the close, but since the subject matter has to do with peace, I've taken selected verses, but we will read them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world order gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These things I've spoken unto you. In me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Just remember, Christ was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one in glory. As the angels sang that night, Christ was born. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace towards men well-pleasing or of good will. Not peace toward men, not just toward the world, but toward men of good will. May the Lord add his blessing now to these selected verses as to prepare our heart and mind for the subject matter of peace today. And these graces for Christ Jesus' sake, in his name we ask it. Amen. And the beginning of this new year, as we think upon him, the Prince of Peace, may truly the Holy Spirit sweep over us with billows of endless love. As we face the grind of the daily things of life, that truly the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our heart and our mind. And realizing this, the impossibility of this, Father God, apart from your energy, we look to you for this grace this morning as we talk about this subject of peace. When in all around us there seems to be no peace. And yet we hear the clarion call come down through the ages. Peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it. Nevertheless, he does give it. And so, we pray that you prepare our heart and our mind to that end this morning. As you take us aside now for this little while, that your energy may flow freely in our hearts, our mind, in our midst, as you rebuke the evil one, as you cleanse us and make us a people whereby you can bless us. Thank you so much for attending to that which will be needful in every heart, and this grace because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Peace, a wonderful subject. Actually, peace is what everybody speaks about, and nobody has, hardly. When you say good morning, what do you mean by that? The Germans say, Guten Morgen. The Mexicans say, go with God. The ancient Greeks used to say, the grace of God be with you. The Jews said, Shalom, peace. You see, these words came into existence because in ancient time there was little law to protect an individual. And so these expressions became commonplace in the cultures wherever they were. They meant when you saw a man coming towards you, like the Jew, he said, shalom, peace. Of course, I don't want any trouble. That's what he was saying. We don't realize that, but when we say good morning, we're saying we don't want to trouble you. We want peace. When the Greek said the grace of, well, the ancient Greek said the grace of the gods be with you. So that was paganism. But nevertheless, he didn't want any war. He wanted peace. When Mexican says, go with God, that's what he means. He means he wants, he don't want any trouble with you. This is where this word came from, peace. Our Lord, in the fourth and fifth chapter of Romans, the last verse in the fourth chapter says, he was, I thought I could quote it verbatim, but it says, he was delivered up for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The war's over. We're not at war anymore. He's not our enemy, and we're not his. Most people don't look at it that way, but you know, that's what peace is when the war's over. There's no conflict. Every man has received Christ Jesus. He has peace with God. It does not give him automatically the peace of God, but it does make him no longer an enemy. He has peace with God. The war is all over. But the peace is on his terms, not on yours. And that night when the angels sing, it's unfortunate that the translators have made such a mistake there. God is not giving peace to the world without something behind it. His peace on earth towards men of goodwill. That's a lot different than the peace on earth towards men. Let's see. So that God never compromises his position. He always is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He'll be the same tomorrow. He doesn't change. We quite frequently use that phrase. Prayer changes things. Well, it does in the right context. It changes you. It don't change God. See? And this comes back to the mind. In this life in which we live, there's a constant warfare for your mind. Everything in life that touches you, the least to the greatest, even the advertisements, everything. And they tell me, I don't know that much about it, they have what they're known as subliminal advertising today. It's a word that flashes on, you don't even see it, but the subconscious picks it up like that. They even go into that extreme to brainwash you, you see. The peace that God gives, though, is not the peace that comes from the world. The peace that the world gives and the things and the thing, the pleasures that we get out of this life, that's what we call peace and able to get along. In other words, I mentioned this several weeks ago. I drive down May Avenue. A sign on the side says, if you're well adjusted and have no problems today, you haven't been paying attention. And that's true with life. It's the man that feels that way about it, he just doesn't pay any attention. He allows the things of this world to capture his imagination, such as football games and ladies' bridge parties and exercises and all these things, you know, that we have in there, all the things that arrest our attention and keeps us on the drive, you know. Good food, good dinner, good fellowship, all those things contribute to our peace of mind in this life. A good wife, a good husband, a good children, which nobody has. And those attribute to the peace that man gives. The peace of God begins with the fact that the war is over. That's a fact we can rest upon. He's not mad at us anymore. God hasn't been mad for 1900 years, any of us. He's allowed us to go our way. He dealt with us in sovereign grace all the way. That's the only reason you're here, because he's been very gracious to you. Like our brother Leland said, when he was in South Texas, I'd remind you of this again. We've mentioned it many times, but it's so good I can't. He said, I knew I wasn't much use, but put me off down here in Uvalde, Texas, down this place. And I'm almost starving to death as a preacher. He said, surely there's something about me that you can find some good into me. I know that not much, but there's something there. And then he found out he was bragging about himself. And so, you know, God is very gracious to all of us. We're all going to get there by the skin of our teeth, so to speak. But the war's over. He's not mad at us anymore. Problem is that peace I give, not as the world gives, give I unto you. In the world, you're going to have trouble. You found that out yet? My boy got married last year, moved out to his own place. You know, he didn't realize that some of the very simple things in life are like they are. He didn't know that he had to buy toothpaste and shaving cream. And 28 years old. I'm carrying it a little extreme. But the point I'm getting at is people sometimes will wake up, what's going on? Long time takes them to find out, to grow up. And God does not give this kind of peace. If you have a bad shave, you appreciate shaving lotion afterwards. That gives you a peace because your skin won't irritate, you know. But God don't give that kind of peace. That's not what I'm talking about. He doesn't give it like the world system that we're in gives it. These things that we call peace today are always of a temporal thing, never lasting. But when God says we're justified by faith, we have peace with God. That means exactly what it isn't temporary. It's a permanent peace. Strange when you realize that the war's over, how quickly, though, we begin to look to the world for peace in these things that God has put around us. And they never produce any permanent peace. The best crutch you have will never give you permanent peace. You may have the best wife, the best husband, the best children, the best of everything, but there's nothing permanent about it. But the war is over. You have peace with God. Let that take a hold of you. Let that grab you. And God is not an Indian giver. He puts it on the line. I'm not knocking the Indians here this morning, so I don't think I'm discriminating against them. But nevertheless, this is the way it is. You see, God gives it permanently. It's a permanent thing between you and God. You can go to the bank with that, so to speak. And yet we have trouble all the time. We forgot that that's a fact of life, that we don't have any warfare anymore with God. Terms of peace are there. I remember at the end of World War II, when MacArthur made peace with the Japanese. When he went to Japan, they lined up on the streets and bowed as if he was some god, you know what I mean? Because they didn't know what to expect. But you know, he treated them nice. He didn't treat them bad. He made possible the great economy that Japan has today. Not altogether, but partially. At least he opened the door for them. They're not really grateful about it, though, you know that. That's human nature. That's what it is. Because the world draws its peace upon things and human conditions and relationships. We kind of forget that, I think, in our daily grind, and therefore we have problems. And these problems are brought about by the enemy, because we begin to trust the peace of this world, see, and we have problems. But you know, the beautiful thing about peace with God is that he uses these troubles to bring us back into the line, and little specks of things happen through life to enable us at times to enter in not only the peace with God, but the peace of God that could be ours constantly if we would. The fault lies with us, not with him. You know, if you have the peace of God in your heart this morning, not the peace with God, you have that. But if you have the peace of God in your heart, there's no problem in life. Not a single one. I think about Paul's experience, and I refer to it again, that night at low ebb tide, when the bottom, so to speak, had fallen out. He says, the Lord visited him that night. He said, be of good cheer, Paul. You think he didn't have peace that night? Sure he did. No. Paul's life was a failure at that moment in time, so Paul thought. You know, Paul's the biggest failure in all the Bible, really is, humanly speaking. When he died, his whole life work had been rejected, practically. And dying as a criminal. That's not a very good public relation figure at all. Even his own turned away from him. A letter sometime, it'll hurt your heart out. He said, at this first, no man stood with me. No man. Only Luke, he said, is here, that's all. All alone. And yet, listen to the cheer of it. I've fought a good fight. The time of my departure's arrived. That word departure we've dealt with before. The time for me to be let loose from above has come. In case you've forgotten it, that word departure is two Greek words, ana, luo. Ana means above, and luo means to let loose. He said, don't. In other words, that's the last word from Paul. Is he downcast because of the circumstances? Not at all. He said, boy, I want you to know the time of me being turned loose has just come. You think it's been a waste down here? It hasn't been a waste at all. I'm just getting out of the kindergarten, and I'm getting ready to get into the real article now. This is the peace of God that passes all human understanding. The roof can fall in here. If you have the peace of God, you say, well, we need a new roof anyway. It's like the old boy that gets a lemon and he makes lemonade, you know, that's what it amounts to. That's peace with God. Not peace with God, but the peace of God. When you have your back against the wall, remember this, that man's extremity is God's opportunity. What the devil does with you, beating you around sometimes, which you allow, and you kind of like it sometimes too, is God's opportunity to get into you. You see, Calvary was probably the most black night of all history. And look what a glorious thing it's turned out to be. Things are not always what they seem. To appreciate, I think, the peace of God, not peace with God, but the peace of God, Paul has given us this letter to the Philippian church concerning the peace of God. It's interesting, too, that it's in the last chapter. There were two ladies at Philippi, and women who were godly women, so to speak, if you want to use that term, because they'd been very helpful to Paul in his ministry. And yet these two ladies evidently had a personality clash. Paul writes, he says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel of Clement also, my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. In other words, they were having some personality clashes between two ladies. Quite commonplace, but anyway, that they were both wonderful women, but they didn't see eye to eye. And they wasn't having any peace, I guarantee that. It's in that setting that he speaks about the peace of God. And writing to that little assembly at Philippi, I think in a human way, that assembly at Philippi was the dearest, nearest to Paul's heart of all the places where he ministered. If you read the stories concerning that, you see it. They were recipients in that same way, too. In fact, they're the only people that he'd even take an offering from. He wouldn't take anything from anybody else. Just they'd be boastful about that they'd supplied his need. He did take it from Philippi. That shows a close relationship there. But anyhow, in that setting of that little story between these two women, he puts these wonderful words. Keep in mind, now he's right into that church, but it's apropos for us today. In the light of what he had said about this problem between the two women, he said, rejoice. This is what a contradiction. He said, help get their members straightened out, but he said, rejoice in it. Why? Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Why? Because, verse 5, the Lord is standing by. He's watching what's going on. He sees that problem. That problem is his place to enter in to bring peace there. And he goes on, and we use this quite frequently in teaching people how to pray. And it is a wonderful story to teach you how to pray, all right. But the main thing it's teaching you is to understand the ways of the peace of God, not just the peace with God. He said, in that atmosphere of trouble there, remember this, the Lord's standing by. Rejoice about that. He's observing this. And then he goes on to say, but your Bible says probably be anxious for nothing, but the Greek says be careful for nothing, but the Greek really says be anxious for nothing. Just because you see that outward thing there, don't get disturbed by it in a personal way, but just talk to the Lord about it. That's what's left, and then he goes on to say, notice, if you really are disturbed about it, don't be anxious about it. But in everything that you're talking about, everything you're thinking about, whatever it may be, it makes no difference. Everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Now that sometimes is hard to take. The problem, whatever it is, in the midst of your troubles, talk to the Lord about it, prayer and supplication, and thank Him not only for the problem, but for the privilege of coming to talk to him about it. Notice the promise, if you really do this. It isn't just coming to talk about the problem, but thanking for the problem and for the privilege. Notice what he promises. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's the peace of God. That's when the whole thing falls in. And you say, well, Lord, this is a hard thing to take. But like the man who got the lemon. See? You thank God for it. Because it allow God, keep in mind that God is the God of circumstances. Nothing touches your life, but it doesn't pass through his hand first. What a computer system that is. It boggles the mind. Even a little sparrow can even fall to the ground. You're much more valuable than sparrows. I don't know really that's true, but the Bible says so, so I'll take it word. You're much more valuable than sparrows. And so God allows that. You see, your extremity is his opportunity. Remember that when the bottom falls out. That he's adequate. The circumstances is his. He's the God of circumstances. You need to keep these things well in your heart, because we live in troublesome, evil days. Always have. But they seem to be getting worse, and they will. That's why you need this book to be grounded in it, to know this is the pathway. Walk in it. That's that only verse over there on the wall. If you don't know that, if you haven't memorized it, you sure ought to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't look to your own smartness, see? Lean not to thine own understanding. Don't think you, well, I'm smart enough. I can figure this thing out, you know. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll cut your path. That's the same word as is used in right division. Rightly dividing, rightly cutting. The peace of God is yours. Every circumstance. I know a young lady whose father just had an operation on his head. They thought it was something terrible. It was terrible, humanly speaking. But after they got in there, they found out the tumor. They got all the roots and everything else up. She's real happy this morning. You know, you could have been right from the start anyway. It wasn't going to change anything. But you could have had peace about the matter all the way. He's the God of circumstances. Remember that. When everything goes black, why, he's the one that can make it white. That's peace. That's real peace. Not as the world gives peace. This is not a braggadocio thing, but it's a fact of life as I observe it with my limited knowledge. But God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. We've been very fortunate here. We never had any real upheavals and scripture ways. At least if it has, it hasn't been called to my attention. Maybe you swept some of it under the carpet. I didn't know about it, but I doubt it. I either got my mind figuring on things around here, what's going on. I've had to say anything about it, but I know what's going on usually. And anyway, we've been very fortunate that way. God has been very kind to us. We've had a unity here that's sometimes even scary. I feel like Job sometimes. Lord, the thing I really feared really happened. I really feel that way sometimes, anticipating trouble. But the peace that God has for us is there constant. And he gives us a little instruction after that prayer. He said, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there's any virtue in these things, that is in truth, honesty, justice, lovely, if there's any virtue in it, if you find any virtue in that, think on those things. It's almost, you know, God can be funny in a backhanded way sometimes. You wouldn't think that a joke, would you? It's not a joke, but it is kind of amusing. If there's any virtue in honesty, in justice, in pureness, in loveliness, today, the world sees it, it probably isn't very much virtue in that. If there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. If we did that, I think the ship would be smooth, sailing pretty smooth. These things which you both learned and received and heard, and you've seen it in me, do these things. And the God of peace should be with you. Now we've got a new year, a new clean sheet. Faced this for 365 days. In fact, the matter is 366 days this time. And when we finished that 366 days, and the Lord tarries, and I'm here, I'd like to have a report next year to find out how many of you have appreciated and understood and been recipients, not just peace with God, but the peace of God. Think about that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could take a report card and after 366 days and say, boy, I had that every day, you know. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that kind of peace? And yet it's available. If there's any virtue in honesty, if there's any virtue in purity, if there's any virtue in things lovely, if there's any virtue in these things, let that begin to capture your mind. Let that begin to be the things that matter. Not the things that you usually think matters. The plumbing is going bad this morning, you know, and that really matters. I know, because we've been fortunate this time. We kept the house hot all the time. The pipes couldn't freeze up, but I know what that happens when it happens. It sure is troublesome. And we think on these things. If our mind is really given over, and that's what God wants. You know, I had a lady call me yesterday about is doing business, and she said, amongst other things, if you get to the place where you don't want to serve God anymore, even if you're saved, he said, it seems kind of unfair if you rebel against God and say you don't want him, he probably won't take you out of this life. And can you imagine anybody thinking like that? That came over the air, and I was surprised at that. You know, that woman was really troubled. She didn't have peace of God. If she was saved, she did have peace with God, but she didn't appreciate that, you see. Have you ever come to a place in your life and said, Lord, I've been such a good person, you know, I've always done what you wanted me to do. I don't even have to say that. You intimated it by the fact that you're grumbling because you're having some trouble. In other words, the fact you're grumbling about it tells you that you feel like you ought to have something a little better than that. Why did it happen to me? That's what old Job cried out, you know. Why me, Lord? And Job really had pretty good ground to complain about. But look, our God's estimate of Job was, talking to the devil, he said, do you ever see a fellow like him? There's nobody on earth like him. He's an upright man. He's a straight shooter, right straight through. He's got a wonderful character. Maybe you think you have a wonderful character. I don't know, but I know better. And you ought to, too, see? And this is why we need the peace of God, not just peace with God, but we need the peace of God. I challenge you for the next 366 days. At the end of the day, when you close out with the Lord, that you can lay down that night and thank Him for the peace of God that's yours. How many nights of this 366 days that you're going to face that you can really say that and be honest with it? And it's available. It passes all human understanding. Father God, we do thank you that the war is over. We have peace with you. We need the peace that is of you too, Lord. And realize that the reason we don't share in this as we ought, because of our still rebellious old Adamic nature, and for our trust in the things of this life rather than in Christ. But as much as in us as can be energized to these ends, to seek constantly with thanksgiving the peace of God. May this year of 1984 be an improvement at least. And so in this spirit of our need and with confidence in your grace, we look to you to these ends that we may report at the end of the year of your graciousness that has brought us the peace of God. Thank you, Father, for attending this thing, because we ask these graces in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Happy New Year.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.